Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where three bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with a K. I'm joined by my regular co-hosts, Mr.
Ben Errington.
And Mr.
Andy Conduit Turner. Hello, everybody.
And
hello.
No, there's no one else. That's it. Just us three, I'm afraid.
Psyched out.
Yeah. Even I got my hopes up then. What?
Yeah. Yeah, how's it going? You guys all right? Just started the podcast on a bum note.
On a real bum note.
Really excited though. And special guest, B.A. Baracus. Oh my god, no, I've made that up.
Start the podcast on a bum note. The only way is up.
Have you guys had a good day? What have you been up to?
Usual, bit of the old work, just on the kind of weird space, but where like it's not Halloween anymore, but you're still in that sort of spooky mood. It's not quite Christmassy in our house yet.
The end of Halloween was a bit disappointing, I think, when we're packing away all the decorations, watching the pumpkins slowly start to wilt. And fall in on themselves.
Like in Halloween sequels when you watch them.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, it's all right. We've got November the 5th to look forward to over here, the day when the problem pets get really bothered. And
I don't understand why we haven't invented silent fireworks now. We don't need... No one's excited by fireworks. Just watch a video. Unless you go into like Disneyland or something. Unless you go to Disneyland and it's like a really big, amazingly put together. Like these like shitty ones that people put in the back garden. They're just there to scare dogs. It's the worst thing in the world. And who's excited about something exploding in the air and like fizzling out like a fart in the sky? You don't need them. Just watch a YouTube video, mate. Put your headphones on.
Talking of that, you know when people record videos of fireworks and then upload them to like social media, you're like, hang on a minute. I mean, I don't even want to be there. And you're making me like not even be there, experience it secondhand.
Videos of fireworks is second. It's maybe just ahead of videos of concerts that you'll never watch back, the sound on your phone that's like,
yeah. Or when people post a picture of an empty plate. Like, I've had a lovely bit of dinner, but here's the horrible, greasy, empty plate. I'm like, I don't want to see you washing up. I mean, I don't even want to see your meal, let alone you washing up.
It's one of those things. Maybe that would be more appropriate if you could tag them so the Facebook algorithm, like, don't keep this, I don't care.
Yeah. It's almost like, do you want a round of applause? Oh, you finished your dinner like a big boy.
There's going to be a reminder of this. Remember that 5 years ago, the time you had that dinner that isn't a picture of.
Yeah.
There is a picture that comes up on my Facebook occasionally of just me, just my finger flipping the bird to a burnt pie.
Oh, no.
Oh, right, yeah. But yeah, really, you should have been flipping the bird to yourself because it was your own mistake. Which
no, it wasn't, Ben. I'd been perfect. I had had no problems in that one. We were staying at Karen's grandparents' house at the time, and the oven was a little bit temperamental. So despite putting it on at the perfect temperature for the perfect time, as the book would have recommended, did everything right, Ben. I did nothing wrong, and I was punished.
If it's a new oven, you don't know its quirks. You know, sometimes
an old oven.
I don't feel like
the door was held open by a bit of plywood.
Yeah, I don't feel like a different temperature is a quirk. That's a fault.
Yeah. If you do everything right, it felt like society had let me down. I'd followed the rules.
I used to be an oven salesman. That's why I said, that's just a quirk in an oven.
Oh, this milk's full of cheese. It's an interesting quirk.
Yeah, some people like the quirkiness of a sour milk.
Just quirk it. Get used to it, guys. Come on. Yeah. World's crazy out there. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, in hindsight, I didn't need to be reminded of that every few years. So it came up just about a week ago now, 8 years ago. Remember that time you burnt that pie and had no alternative dinner?
You can just go and delete it. I'm always deleting old posts of me going, oh, having a WKD. Delete that, you idiot.
Yeah. Ben's cancel-proof. He's going back and rewriting history.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Old Kang the Conqueror there in his master timeline.
Real boring stuff. Real boring stuff, Flanagan. No one needs to know that.
Preserve the sacred timeline, Ben.
Exactly. The timeline where I wasn't a twat. There's only one. It's like, there's only one. You know, when Doctor Strange says I saw 4 million timelines, how many of them?
Being a right tit.
How many of them were you a twat? pretty much all of them, mate. Sorry.
I was enjoying a reef that time. No, that didn't happen.
Tropical reef. Did you guys do anything special for Halloween? Anything good?
Yeah, I had a few friends around. We were going to watch Hellraiser because they hadn't seen Hellraiser. But I thought, on a whim, I downloaded Until Dawn, you know, the PS4 game. So I could choose your own adventure. It's like an interactive horror movie, and it's got like facial recognition character actors like Rami Malek and Hayden Panettiere and these people in it. And we ended up just playing that for like 5 hours. It was way longer than I thought it was going to be.
Oh, wow.
I think we're only about halfway through as well. It's pretty good. I mean, it's definitely aged a bit. It's like it was a PS4 launch game, I think. So what's that? Five, 6 years or something. But it was really fun, and we just couldn't stop playing it. So that's, and it was like 1 o'clock, and we were like, we're gonna have to pack this in. Halloween's over. I'm really tired.
It's Christmas now, come on.
Yeah, what about you guys?
Bit of trick-or-treating with the kids, kids related to me, not just random children that I tagged along with.
Come on, kids.
One thing about the kids though, and this was I was a bit like, come on kids, sort it out. They weren't saying trick or treat. They were just allowing the door to be opened and then assuming that they deserved sweets. So I'm like, no, the minimal effort from you is to at least say,
were they even kids, like 17-year-old boy?
17-year-old boy just squatting.
Well, you dressed as a mugger.
some pretty good outfits though. My nephews did Freddy versus Jason. So one of them was Jason Voorhees, one of them was Freddy Krueger.
Did they know who they are?
I think they know vaguely. Obviously, they've not seen all the movies. Maybe they have now. But they vaguely
was your one nephew putting his hand up there saying, yeah, I'm classic Freddy, where it's ambiguous that I'm a sex offender, not modern Freddy.
100%. I said, I think I told you this maybe a couple of weeks back, where my mum was, I was trying to explain who Freddy was without terrifying him, but my mum butted in and went, and he killed kids. And I was trying to leave that bit out. I think I've told you that already. But
he was a naughty man, and he was quite rude. And
we didn't get one trick-or-treater at our house, though, despite the fact
we didn't.
We put the pumpkins out and quite a lot of Halloween decorations. I'm not usually one for it, but we had quite a lot going on. Not a single person knocked on the door. I don't know what that
That's
was
weird.
About.
We actually got prepared with loads of sweets and stuff ready for kids, and we didn't get anyone. And I realized outside in our front, there's like no streetlights at all. It's like pitch black. And I'd be like, it'd be terrifying for little kids.
Yeah. But then again, the if you prepared a load of sweets and no one turned up, all the more for you.
Yeah, I've had loads. I've had far too many.
Right into Christmas as well.
They're all gone.
We took a gamble. We didn't get any sweets in because we live off like a little, it's like a little side road off the main road. And again, it's like yours, Luke. There's no lights to get down there. It's off the public highway, so there's no like street lights. So it would be terrifying to walk down here. And there's only a couple of houses down here. So like it wouldn't be worth it for the savvy trick or treater. So we didn't get anyone. My parents, my dad's retired now, so he is. they know the most efficient routes. My dad's retired now, so he sent me a video of what they've done in their house. Maybe I'll post it to the group. But they've gone all out. My parents, who definitely when we were kids, were like, "Oh, bloody Halloween, that's an American thing." Now they're well into it. They've decorated the house, and my dad, now he's got nothing else to be doing with his time, like working all the time. He got one of those projector things that you see? So the upstairs bedroom window, because he's a big tech guy, they have like a Ring doorbell or whatever it is that has the camera on it. And he managed to sync it up. So the projector came to life with sound effects of like zombies and like the video of people like banging on the windows and so on.
Oh, wow.
He had it set to trigger when the camera noticed someone walking up towards the house.
That's amazing.
The first load of kids they had come into the door ran away.
Traumatized for life.
But then they got loads of trick-or-treaters. But my mum and dad live in like a classic like trick-or-treating neighborhood. Nice little cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sounds lovely.
Did you watch anything or play anything or consume anything?
Working my way through the Halloween series because do you want to reveal, Ben? We're going to do a little something special for Halloween, so we're working our way through the series still.
We've discussed doing a Halloween franchise ranking. I know there's a lot of them to watch, so I think I suggested if there's absolutely loads you haven't seen, either of you, maybe we could do the ones we haven't seen, maybe just put them at the bottom of the list. I don't know.
That reminds me as well.
Worst one, I didn't even bother seeing it.
I'm really understudied for Halloween. But that reminds me, I saw someone on YouTube on YouTube there's a whole craze of like ranking stuff and you have like S tier.
I saw
a few people doing horror movies and they were ranking the best and worst horror movies. And I thought, we could do that. We could definitely do something like that. Just get, I don't know.
I do like the tier. What's it called? Tier maker list. Whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, we could do this. Do like some tiers of different like franchise, like do a like a franchise tier and say, okay, this is where the Halloween franchise is. This is where that'd be good.
Maybe do it as an offshoot of that. So maybe we do a ranking where we do our top whatever ones or the list of our favorites. But then also while we're discussing them, chuck them in the tier list as well.
Yeah, that'd
be good. Yeah. But then there might be
arguments. But we'll work it out. We know each other well enough now. We'll come to a consensus.
I'm digging my heels in on this.
There's a video recently on, I mean, it was on the TikTok, but I didn't see it on there, of course, because I'm 38 years old. I saw it when someone had posted it to Twitter, and someone had done a video saying what your favorite horror movie says about you. And not one to criticize, you know, our... if listicles are anything to go by, our lords and masters, Gen Z, but the first two are things that it says about you, and then the list very quickly devolves into my mom's favorite horror film. Your favorite horror movie doesn't mean that as a person you're my mom's favorite horror film. That's just thing you have said.
So I
watched this 2-minute video, and what it made me was furious for being inaccurate.
What I've noticed on TikTok, especially in terms of horror movie TikTok, is there are a lot of really bland, basic takes. I've noticed. That's one thing I've noticed, where someone goes, "Oh, like horror movies, do you? Well, I bet you haven't seen this, Halloween 3. Did you know there was a third Halloween movie? And Michael Myers ain't even in it." And I go, "Oh, come on. Give people some respect. I want to see some mad shit that no one's seen."
Like, this is why, Ben, people come to the Horror Hangout podcast. When we do Book of Saw, we compare Chris Rock's character to Zippy from Rainbow. No other podcast. Yeah. I can guarantee that.
What you want? That's what you want. I think it's what that's what Twitter is missing as well.
Nonsense.
I saw as well someone on Twitter who I don't know, but I really like them, and I feel like I'd like to know them as a person, but they're too cool. But they were talking about how they went to a horror movie quiz with their workplace, and they're like they were saying how they wish they had someone here who knew horror movies. And I was like, God, if I was there, I should go there and run across the country. To try. Yeah, I know. Then they'd accept me as a person. This is the life of the horror movie fan. Like,
if any people would invite us to these things, like I'd travel for those. Maybe we should be like, you know, like the people that are on Eggheads that go and they turn up. I mean, we won't be like the Eggheads. We won't murder someone in Amsterdam, but allegedly.
Oh, yeah.
But allegedly, but we could turn up to a horror quiz, and then it'll be like a casual, fun thing. And then, as we've won, you know, the round of drinks or whatever it is, then loud, suckers! We do a horror podcast.
We do a weekly horror podcast. Rip off whatever we've got on, and we've got horror hang it t-shirts on underneath, and then we've got them for sale as well.
Yeah,
after we've offended everyone in there, suck it! But what else, Ben? Have you been playing a bit of horror, right?
A little bit. So I'm still chipping away at Alan Wake. I've not finished that. I'm kind of it's episodic, so I'm kind of every time I finish an episode, I think I'll leave that for a bit. Come back to it in a while. Mm-hmm. It's got to a point now where I feel like it's almost unfairly difficult. Where I'm like, oh come on, I got no chance against this massive tractor.
I haven't played it in many, many years. Is it difficult? I think there's difficulty settings. Have you tried?
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, I would never do that. I'd never lower the difficulty. I feel like I'd be lying to myself, you know, but it's quite difficult. I think it's maybe the controls as well. Like obviously it's a remaster, but it still feels a little bit like an older game where you can't, like dodging's a bit off and, aiming's a bit inconsistent, but I mean still great. I love it when horror games have got a bit of that about it, where sort of wrestling the controls is part of the pain, part of the survival horror thing. Sorry Andy, what are you gonna say?
I was just saying I just enjoying your memories of it, Ben. Like I remember really enjoying Alan Wake.
Oh yeah. The story is great. I do really like it. It's like a mix of what would you say, Twin Peaks, Silent Hill.
Plus it's got a very like David Lynch feel to it. I think the whole
David Lynch, Stephen King, classic feel. Yeah. So I've been playing that, and also been playing Inside, the game from Playdead, which I know both of you have played as well. The how do you describe it? Side scrolling platform.
I call this genre my favorite genre of game.
Oh well, wow.
Okay. Like it's like puzzle, creepy atmospheric puzzle platformer.
Yeah.
With so it's like kids.
Limbo, little, yeah, it's the spooky kids genre.
It's amazing. They're so interesting and unique.
It's so inventive that like it's insane. As I explained to you guys before, sometimes I'll do something, I'll try and get past a certain section 10 times and the answer is actually quite straightforward, but I'm like, what? Or the answer is like so ingenious that I'm like, what on earth? Like I would have never, how did I even think of that? How did they even think of that? Sorry. Of the game.
The thing I love about that game is it's really nuanced. Like you were talking to us before we start recording about the bit with the dogs.
And
the way they react to you is quite, quite unique. But also, like, you'll notice that some NPCs will react to you differently to other NPCs. And there's just, like, nothing seems copy and paste, if that makes sense.
No.
It all seems very well placed.
It feels very real as well, doesn't it? And as I said before as well, the margins are so fine where, like, you successfully get past a certain section by the skin of your teeth and you have such a sense of achievement from that. But obviously it's been designed in the way to make it like that as well. So...
I'm so excited for you to finish it.
Yeah, I can't wait, Ben. You're gonna have to text us when you get to it, because literally the end of that game, no spoilers, but like the last section, you play like the last half hour, 20 minutes of it, and when I stopped I was just like, fucking hell.
I think you told me that when I was playing it, Andy, for the first time, And I remember thinking, because I played Limbo before, which is Playdead's first game, and I was like, I don't understand what could happen that could be mind-blowing. But then it happens. And it is pretty mind-blowing. Yeah.
Well, I've got Limbo too, so I mean, I'll play that next as well, I expect.
Limbo is really, really good. It's,
yeah.
In fact, I know some people who prefer it.
Okay.
Great, crazy folks. But it is good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. There's loads of games. And then I guess spanning off from that, you get the ones that go into like a Metroidvania thing as well. Like you've got Hollow Knight, which I've done a bit of, but it's dead hard. And Ori and the Blind Forest is super, is not horror at all. It's very pretty, but it's nice. And it's has a great aesthetic like that about it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to play those at some point. Hollow Knight is great, but it is way, way too hard. I think I played a horror game. It was a free... There's a whole community of people on itch.io, which is like an indie gaming website. And there's a whole community of people making horror games. And like some of them are like astoundingly good. There's one on there called Wrong Floor, and it's a single guy, developer, made it on his own. He made it in Unity. It's all homemade models and stuff. It's quite short. I think it's like a 10, 15 minute experience. And it's a first person puzzle, I guess. You get on a lift, and the lift doesn't make it all the way to the next floor. Like it makes it halfway, and then you're in this floor that shouldn't be there, and it's pitch black. And you find out there's like a guy in there with you. Oh. And it's like so well put together. It's like one of the scariest things I've ever played. The atmosphere it creates is unreal. So I'd recommend that. It's only on Windows though. I think maybe some Mac is, I don't know, but it's Wrong Floor. It's free. It's about a 10-minute experience, and it is really good.
Write that down, Luke.
Or just watch playthrough, because there's loads of playthroughs of it on YouTube.
Take the full horror experience if I can take it and see how we do.
Yeah.
Other than that, I know we've kind of gone into what we're watching because of the season, but tiny bit of, I guess, horror adjacent news, unless you've got anything else, Ben. Saw a trailer for Morbius was out today. Another trailer for that.
Yeah, I was going to mention that actually in terms of what we've been watching. So, in terms of horror news. So, second trailer, I think it's actually coming out in January 2022. There's a certain shot which looks quite promising of him going full Morbius. I'm still very unsure about this film and what to expect from it, and Jared Leto as the leading man, and you know what they're going to do with the character. Was he like kind of flying at one point?
Yeah, he does
gliding.
The Michael Morbius like flying from
glider.
Yeah, from the Spider-Man cartoon where he just can fly, just puts his hands up and goes.
I'm going to watch all the Spider-Man cartoons. It's going to take me a while. But,
they're so good. That is one of the most fantastic series.
X-Men as well after that.
Yeah, the X-Men one, I don't know if it holds up quite as well.
Series, you lose focus a little bit. First two seasons are really good still. But then later, other people just turn up at random.
It's even got like stuff like the Shi'ar Empire stuff, right? Like it does go really
Space Birds Empire,
I'll get around to that. I noticed I was watching the first episode with the lizard, and I was like, this is like a really horror, like they lean into a lot of horror tropes in Spider-Man villains.
Yeah, 100%. And it almost does look like for definite it's going to be some iteration of the Sinister Six in No Way Home, doesn't it?
Have you both seen Venom 2 now?
No, but I've seen the spoiler. Spoiler, which is quite a cool spoiler, I've got to say.
I've seen Venom 2. Have you guys discussed Venom 2 on this show?
No,
I've not seen it yet.
I haven't seen it, but I know the end credits scene.
I've seen it, and I found it just as naff.
I saw your review as the
first one. I mean, honestly,
I think I preferred the first one.
You did. But all the problems I had with the first one, I had with the second one as well. So,
yeah,
there we go. Apart from that, news-wise, the only thing I've seen is that Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead sequel is titled Planet of the Dead. So it's going to be a prequel anime series, Army of the Dead Lost Vegas. Obviously, that Army of Thieves movie's come out now, which is
out now.
Not, yeah, I think it's out now, which is not horror at all, is it? It's more like a sort of thriller.
Ocean's 11.
Steelers.
Yeah, heisty.
Steelers. The Steelers
which is,
movie.
Which is annoying, really, isn't it? Because you're just like, well, is that the most interesting part of Army of the Dead? The man who
can robots save? Are.
Oh yeah, he breaks into a safe. Oh yeah, does he save
robots? Like,
oh yeah, my problem is I'm really good at cracking a safe, but
I'm a robot.
Can't pick a robot out of a lineup. Like, it wanted to slip right past me.
What about him with the glowing blue eyes? What? No,
might just be Nordic. I don't know if he's.
I've got some news actually. So Rob Savage, director who made Host,
oh, yeah,
and oh, Dash Camp.
He's directing a Stephen King movie. He's doing an adaptation of The Boogeyman, which I have to say, I'm not too sure about that as a premise, because that was the short story that became it, I think. If my understanding is correct, that's from the short story collection Night Shift. It's about a psychiatrist who, I can't remember, something about his kids. Maybe his kids are complaining about a boogeyman. But I thought that's the inspiration for it. So it seems weird that they're turning that into a feature-length film. But if anyone can do it, I'm pretty sure Rob Savage can. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'll turn up for it. Have you seen Dash Cam yet?
No, I really want to, though. It looks like it's been quite divisive. I heard some people mention Sam Raimi as a kind of, not aesthetic, but maybe like the attitude towards the filmmaking side of it. So that looks like it could be quite fun.
I don't know when that's even out and available for.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's been doing like limited runs and like festivals, right? But
yeah,
it'll turn up.
There's a few movies I really want to watch. That Titane.
Yeah.
I keep seeing that get picked up. Antlers is out at some point as well.
Yes, I know. One of my friends who has like an Odeon near them, he saw that yesterday. I'm not sure if it's a special screening or just out.
Yeah. I think it might. I'd like to see it as well. I think that's out now. I think Titane isn't out in the UK until like the end of the year, like at the tail end of December. Maybe we should do a bonus episode on Antlers then, if we can all see it.
Yeah, if we can get hold of it, that'd be great. Like, find somewhere it's screening.
Because I was a bit like, oh, I've lost all interest in that. But then the reviews are coming out and it seems like people are kind of digging it. So,
yeah.
Look
forward to it.
Sounds good.
Anything else you guys have seen this week, really?
No, just the film of the week for me.
Yeah, just film of the week, really.
The only I did give Sweeney Todd a rewatch. The Tim Burton Sweeney Todd, because it's been a long time since I've seen that.
You, Joanna, now and inside your bedroom.
I want. He always thinks that he wants to steal her. He's like,
yeah, I smell you.
Why are you singing? Why are you singing at her like that? You
he's
might
a creepy
hate,
guy, isn't he?
You might have nothing in common with her. He's a twat. Yeah. Like, he keeps bursting into the room and spilling all the plot. Like when there's a bad guy around.
Oh, all over the floor.
Just bursts into a room and goes, I'm going to steal her away. Oh, no. That's your Barry Kearns.
Singing to her from the streets like a buffoon.
Like a twat.
Of course, the, not Snape, whatever his name is. Rickman. Of course he's going to get you.
What bothers me about that is he gets like halfway shaven and then just leaves the barbers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's kind of ease me. Come on. Finish me off. Not like that, but you know.
it's a bit risky though. I'd probably just go with a half shaved face because, I mean, you're going to get dead. Although he doesn't know
that's
that.
That's true.
It's a good film. I think that's an underrated Tim Burton movie. I like feel like that and Sleepy Hollow. I really like them.
Sleepy Hollow is one of my favorites.
That'd be a great double feature.
Yeah.
For a pale Johnny Depp face. double whammy.
Chuck old Edward Scissorhands in, make it a triple.
Benjamin Barker. I always say whenever I hear someone say, I had him, I always hear that in Benjamin Barker's voice. I had him. Yeah, so it's just one of those films that's like stuck with me for some reason.
Yeah, and it made you kind of crave human flesh as well. I mean, of course not, but disgusting. Yeah. Don't eat human flesh. What I remember, do you remember the bodies like slipping down the
They crash horribly,
like head first, and that was probably
quite brutal. Yeah,
so brutal. Is it the only 18 rated Tim Burton movie?
I want to say so. I don't.
I was going to say Sleepy Hollow, but I don't think it.
Sleepy Hollow is
maybe an
18. PG.
Really?
PG, mate.
By modern standards, I reckon it'd be a 12A. Might be a 15 back in the day. 12A wasn't a thing.
Heads getting lopped off though.
And those are like the heads, like a tree. The tree opens up and heads tumble out of it. Mm. Seems quite gory. Also, there's that bit where that kid gets moided under the floorboards.
No one says fuck or bugger though, so it's fine.
Okay.
There's a certain twist though that I completely forgot about, and when it was revealed, I was like, "Oh my god, can't believe it!"
Is that the "See You Fire" woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one recognizes anyone in this film. They're like, "What's that? You got a streak of white hair. You're unrecognizable to everyone." No one knows who you are.
Yeah, but there's no Facebook back then, is there? Like, it's difficult.
It's the Clark Kent glasses all over again.
And also, he's got a weird sexual relationship with his razors, isn't he?
Yeah.
He calls them his friends. He calls them his friends, but he's definitely shaving his balls with them.
Probably. I mean,
yeah.
You've got to
use a skillful barber. It'd probably be fine.
Yeah. It's practice set.
Perfect.
Perfect every time.
Perfect every time. That scrotum has not got a single nick.
It's not got a crease on it even.
What's that advert that keeps coming up? Manscaping. He was like the original manscaper. Yeah. Analog style. He used to go around door to door.
I'm about to do a shave, but before I jump into it, Sweeney Todd is proud to be sponsored by
Harry's Razors.
Harry's Razors.
Harry's Razors. You want to be smooth like Mysterio's head by the time
There's got to be a Sweeney Todd ASMR where you get a nice shave, but then also get your throat slit at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, have you seen that actually? Sorry, dive into one more bit of news. I saw, so podcast I listened to a while ago, I'm not bigging up a small independent one. It's from the good folks at the BBC. I listened to a series called Battersea Poltergeist a while ago. So a journalist called Danny Robbins, really nice, narratively done story of like a haunting in the 60s that went on. But they had something promoted on their list. Like it was like the same production company had done something. So I just got the promoted one come up in the feed. It's called Dead House. And it's just right now there are only three episodes out. It's audio fiction stuff, but they've done it very, very deliberately with kind of really heavy sound engineering. It's, you know, designed to be binaural, sort of listened to with headphones and so on. Yeah. I listened to the demo one of them that they did in just the previews. Really well done. I can't speak to the quality of the stories yet. I've not listened to them, but just for sound engineering, it was very impressive.
I always thought that had to be done at some point with like proper binaural recording for like spooky sounds. I remember there was a binaural test thing on YouTube where it's like a guy getting a head shaved, and with they're recording it like a mic with like two ear shapes or something, and it's amazing. Like the effect, it feels like you're genuinely there getting your head shaved.
The one I listened to was impressive. Just like a little 5-minute snippet.
Yeah,
that's fairly intense. Yeah, it's worth a look.
Sounds good. And then there was The Beyond, which I think was my suggestion. I wouldn't say recommendation, but it was my suggestion.
Oh yeah. Did you have a reason why you suggested it?
I don't know. I think we were talking about a few on the list, and I felt like we needed a bit of a wild card in there.
Yep.
That would be quite wild.
And I, for one, Luke, am delighted that you picked this as a wild card.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, The Beyond is a 1981 Italian gothic supernatural horror film directed by Lucio Fulci. Is that how you say his name?
I think Fulci.
Fulci. Yeah. So the actual Italian title is "And You Will Live in Terror: The Afterlife." I'm not going to try and pronounce it in Italian. So yeah, how come we've got a different, is it just one of those movies that's got a different title in the US for some reason?
Yeah.
So nice. a young woman inherits an old hotel in Louisiana where, following a series of supernatural accidents, she learns that the building was built over one of the entrances to hell. Oh, bloody hell. Unfortunate, that, isn't it?
Yeah. So this film is an interesting one. The ratings on IMDb are 6.8 out of 10. Critics score on Rotten Tomatoes is 67%. There is no consensus score. I don't think there's enough of them. They just couldn't come to a consensus. It's such a challenging, divisive film. Yeah. The audience score is 76%. Letterboxd has it at 3.6 out of 5. A couple of choice reviews.
That's pretty high, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Josh put an absolute goat of fever dream cinema. 5 stars. So he was well into it. And then Basim Emad put, the most disturbing thing about this film is that there are actually people who like it. 0.5 star. So they were not only not a fan of the film, but not a fan of people who
like it.
Yeah. It is an interesting film. It's not the first time I've seen it. And also, I'm sure you guys might have seen another Fawlty film. He did Zombie 2.
Is it Zombie 2? The Porridge Man reminded me of him.
Yeah, which is that the one with a shark that fights a zombie?
A shark fights a zombie? I've definitely not seen that.
No, I've seen Zombie 2. I'm aware of it, and I know it's an Italian zombie movie.
It's a sequel, unofficial sequel to Dawn of the Dead. And I want to...
There's a shark fight scene. It says the insane story of Zombie 2's notorious shark fight scene.
Oh, we'll get him on the list then. We'll have
absolutely
him on.
Absolutely, wow.
Yeah, that's an interesting film. I think The Beyond is meant to be his, maybe not his most famous, but his most, not polished, what's the word I'm looking for? Renowned film, I guess. I mean, people say you got to watch a Fawlty film because I think he's known for this kind of nightmarish, crazy, weird gore cinema. The Beyond is the one that people always get told to watch first. And I'm interested to know what you guys thought of it. How did it go down?
Sorry, I'm just watching this zombie versus shark fight scene and just realize, I mean, it's a real shark. It's not like it's not like a model of a shark or anything.
It's not a real man, though, is it? And as a zombie, is it a real man?
Yeah, it's definitely a real man. He's obviously got a fake arm that the shark's biting. But
that is mental.
I'd absolutely love to know what the hell happened there. Definitely watch that. Just please YouTube Shark versus Zombie and you'll find it. This is the first time that I've seen The Beyond. I think I've seen like little clips from it a lot. Like I've always seen that clip with the car approaching the blind woman and the dog.
Is that on the weird bridge highway thing that goes over
the bridge? The bridge highway to like Silent Hill in the mist.
And I've seen little clips of the gory effects as well. Here and there, but I've never actually sat down and watched this one, which is surprising because it's pretty nuts.
Yeah. There's a weird thing with like these kind of Italian horror movies where they all kind of, I mean, I don't think this was filmed in New Orleans. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in Italy and they've just kind of found a house and stuff.
Funny you should say that, Luke. Sorry.
Really? But, Go on.
I thought I should do a little bit of research just because I really didn't know much about this film. So I watched a couple of sort of behind the scenes videos. It was filmed in New Orleans, but it's got this weird sort of like, it's like New Orleans through the eyes of Italy to the point where like, so apparently apart from the two lead characters, everyone else was Italian. Like crew, actors, they're all Italian.
Plumber Joe, all of them.
Plumber Joe, just pretty much everyone with a southern accent.
Yeah, mysterious ginger child Jill. They're all Italian.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure why they did it, but they took everything to New Orleans to shoot it there. I guess because maybe thinking, if we do make a horror and we set it in the US, maybe it'll appeal more to
wider market. I guess
wider market. So really,
maybe they had access to that house. That house that they feature quite a lot in the hotel even.
I've got us a house. Yeah. It's in New Orleans.
That's miles away.
We're in Italy.
When am I going to get a reason to go over there? Oh, set a film there. It's a good idea, I might.
It's a good idea.
There we go.
It's weird though, because when you, they could have this film didn't necessarily have to.
No
be
one would
we'll
ever know.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you watch this film and go, well, it had to be in New Orleans, nowhere else. A similar sort of story could have been set anywhere else.
Yeah. It's also got that weird thing, like in Italian film productions, Italian horror film productions, where they don't seem to like to record sound from the day. Like everything has to be done in post. So then you get people who you've obviously dubbed them, and they look like they're speaking English words, but it's like a slightly different performance. Like someone will sound way more exasperated than their face, especially the blind lady. There's bits where she's just talking normally into the camera, but her voice is like screaming.
Over the top. So I won't go back, please.
Yeah. So it's a weird, peculiar feel, but I think it just like adds to the fever dream aesthetic of it.
Yeah. I think I'm inclined to agree with you there.
That wasn't uncommon though for other films of the genre, right? Like these Italian horror movies. I'm pretty sure Luke, you went there for that one, but Ben, isn't this something that was common with Pieces as well, that they had even the actors that spoke English, they then dubbed over them with another performance of English speakers.
Yeah, same with Dario Argento's stuff as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember what we did before. But yeah, and also like the gore is like, and it feels like that's the main purpose at times, like let's just get something really gory in there and let's just melt a face and then have blood.
Yeah,
let's have a spider eat someone's eyes out.
We can melt a face. We got to write a film around the face melting. See, well, we can melt a face, but what we got to have some sort of story. Nah, let's just melt a face. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Cast wise, I didn't really recognize anyone because they're probably all Italian. You said of the first two,
Catriona McColl, who plays Liza, and David Warbeck, who plays John McCabe. They're both English, I think.
Okay, yeah.
I think they're English. And I think they've both, or definitely Catriona McColl has been in two previous Fulci movies, City of the Living Dead and The House by the Cemetery. And those three films, including The Beyond as the middle part, are considered a trilogy, aren't they?
Yeah, I didn't know that Beyond. I thought Beyond was the first one. I didn't know it was the middle one. That's interesting.
Well, a trilogy, but City of the Living Dead was 1980, and then The Beyond and House by the Cemetery are both 1981. So
that's weird.
Mix them up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks like there's a lot of plot in this film, but I don't know if it even sticks to its own plot that much. I think it just seems to sort of fly from one crazy
it flies between
another
beats of the film, right? Because certainly, like, that man, a man gets an autopsy very quickly later on, but there's a semblance of a plot. We start in the past and everything.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so it starts off in black and white in like the 1920s. I don't know, a while ago. There's an artist living in that hotel in room 36, and he's like painting hell.
He's painting intensely, isn't he? He's doing an intense painting of hell, but as we quickly learn, everyone's a bloody critic, aren't they? The neighbours come in and they chain punch him right in the face. They don't like his painting one iota.
How did they know he was doing that? How did they go, what's he doing in there? Are you painting the landscape of hell in there? No. It's
right, pass me my chain.
Didn't he have Didn't he have the Book of Ibon though as well? Like
he did, yeah.
Wasn't the other name? What's the name reading that though?
Yeah.
Like
they're all at it. They're all having a good go on the Book of Ibon.
She was reading that Book of Prophecies, and as we see him, well, first he gets chain punched, and then the villagers say, "Right, down in the basement, you. I'm gonna crucify. Tell you what, could use those villagers around here." I never managed to hang up a painting that well. Got to, got to really drill the holes, got to really get the things in carefully. These guys managed to hammer nails into stone through a man, quick as you like, a couple of taps.
Yeah. It looks pretty painful. It's got a kind of dubbed screaming thing going on.
Yeah. So I think that they think he's, essentially practicing black magic, don't they? But doing a dirty old painting.
Easy to mistake that for painting. That Bob Ross was getting it all the time. Bob, you're doing witchcraft. No, I'm painting, remember? Painting.
But how'd you do that? There was a couple of blobs a second ago. Now it looks like a bloody
like a tree.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
But they're so annoyed at him that they don't just crucify him on the wall. They get their hot porridge oats soaked over and they dash them in his face.
Oh yeah.
That's fresh, obviously what that's supposed to be.
Fresh out of the microwave.
Yeah, they're hot porridge oats, and it's Daddy Bear's porridge because it is too hot, my friends. It
looks like plain ready breakfast arse, like the worst. I mean, it's not even that syrup, golden syrup one. It's dead nice.
I guess some sort of acid. Is that what we're thinking this is?
I don't know, because where villagers get porridge acid from?
Acid porridge.
Where'd you get our porridge acid? Don't ask, don't tell.
Is it like some kind of lime for like building the walls or something like that? Really hot plaster of Paris?
Yeah, maybe.
Could be. We'll never know.
Like bits of him like sloughs off, right? Like I feel like there's blood and stuff.
It's quite an effective. So this effect of the melting faces and stuff is quite effective because it looks kind of, as soon as it starts melting away, it goes red and then the blood appears. Yeah. I'm not sure it's kind of over the top, but at the same time, it looks pretty.
There's a couple of times and I was like, ooh, that actually got me in the stomach. Just a little bit. There's a teeny tiny bit of queasiness there. I think maybe when the lady gets her ear bit off by the dog, I think that got me a bit. But the same, I don't understand. So the blind lady, where did she
goes blind from reading the prophecy, right? Because that's the end of the flashback sequence. She's having a read about these prophecies. And then she puts the book down. The book bursts into flames and we go to the titles. That might just be for effect, like the opening of a Bond thing. I don't really think those people are swimming around in silhouette.
Oh, dramatic, isn't it? This book.
I got confused as to why she was she a ghost or something in the present day. I think I completely misread what was happening. Because later on, she's like, don't take me back to all the ghosts. Yeah, so I was like, maybe they want her. Maybe she's from their time.
Yeah, because she was reading by all those oil lamps. So maybe she's from their time and the book killed her and she came back as a ghost.
Doctor Who.
Milky eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like quail's egg eyes.
Yeah, those eyes are so strange. They're all cracked. Maybe she read that book so hard that it wore them out. I almost did that with Very Hungry Caterpillar when I was a kid. Library told me I couldn't renew it again.
You need to get some of them computer glasses. My eyes have been getting bad.
Yeah, like such a blue light glass.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Then we're in 1981, aren't we?
Okay, yeah, 1981. And our main character inherits the hotel. And she's opening it up and there's like people on scaffolding and stuff. I think someone falls off the scaffolding.
Yeah, falls off. Like so it begins with I forgot to say that the artist man was going, he points out to the villagers, lads, he actually says, be careful. He said, be careful. This hotel is on a gate to hell. I can save you somehow with this painting. But if you're not careful, hell's going to get you. And then it flashes forward to 1980-odd, like, you know, years later. And, oh, looks like they were careful then, because nothing happened.
50 years living on top of hell. It's been fine.
I guess it's...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sort of like it's a Horcrux hotel or anything like that. So you mustn't mess with it, otherwise hell's going to come out. But I was made a note here saying, oh, well, looks like 50 years have passed. Nothing has gone wrong and everything's fine. But I spoke too soon because that man literally says, oh, painted that wall. It's going to be done. And then he sees scary blind eyes and falls off the scaffolding.
Oh, yeah. Is that how you react now? I mean, I guess we're supposed to believe it's got some sort of supernatural power. But if I saw some of Quell's egg eyes, I think I'd just be like, all right.
Well, it depends. Like, if she came out of nowhere. Like, there's been times when I've been in my bedroom listening to music, I'm looking, there's a window cleaner like out the window looking in. What with quails egg eyes.
If you'd quit with quails egg eyes, you would have fallen off. They call for this guy a doctor. But to be honest, the state of him doesn't need a doctor. He needs a sponge, mop and bucket.
He's a bloody sponge, mate. I've got a broken neck. You need a good bath, you do, mate. Come on.
Well, he's there, and he's all floppy, like a skeletonless man. And he's like, there's a lot of liquid coming out of him. He's splashing and sloshing around. His insides have been liquefied.
Have some respect for yourself. Jesus. God's in everywhere.
I don't remember that.
But he's fine, and he just goes to hospital. So the doctor comes. Like, it's not that he's been killed. He's all sloshing and splashy. And then the doctor comes and goes, oh, he'll be fine. Take him to hospital, though.
I'm definitely not fine. I think I'm dead.
My bones have melted.
Yourself to hospital, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So they pop up. This is where we meet the doctor character. What did you say his name was? I just recognised him as the doctor.
He looks like a doctor. He's always kind of... he's got one eyebrow up.
John McCabe.
Like John McCabe, yeah.
So what accent has he got? Is he like a
doctor? It's got a regional,
like a doctor
received pronunciation.
He's British, don't he? I thought.
Yeah.
He sounded British. Oh, I'm John McCabe. No, he didn't sound like that. I've just imagined him.
Hello, John McCabe. Yeah, I think it's like a non-accent, one of them news reporter accents.
One of them.
And the plumber comes.
Then they get the plumber on.
Get the plumber on, and she goes, basement's flooded, is that serious? And he goes, oh, not really.
Oh, Joe the plumber. Yeah,
Joe the plumber. Like, I tell you, like, I'm not, like, I've told you this, Ben, I'm not a plumber. Never have I claimed to be a plumber. But for me, the layman, flooded basement, I'd consider quite a serious plumbing incident if my basement was flooded.
Yeah, like completely. And she says, how long is it going to be? I think she says like it's going to be an hour or something, and he says no, it'll be like longer.
This job takes as long as it takes. I hope she's paying him for the job, not for the time.
He does say that. He's a cowboy, isn't he? He's going to screw him over.
Well,
sorry,
well,
he's going to take about 2 months.
Like knocking the wall out, like within seconds. Like he goes, oh, look at that wall. That needs to come out.
That wall is doing nothing.
I suppose there's water coming through it, but I feel like you'd be a bit more cautious before you start whacking it open.
I know what'll stop this leak. Less bricks, too many bricks in this basement.
Yeah,
I'll chip it out. But unfortunately, what he does is he chips a door to hell and then gets his blooming eyes gouged, doesn't he?
This film's got a real hard on for eyes. Like eyes are all over, eyes getting gouged, eyes, milky eyes.
I think that's a faulty special. Like there's a lot of eye stuff. Even in Zombie 2, I remember there's like a really famous bit with a splinter going in an eye for like 10 minutes. Yeah.
Do you find eyes a bit like, I think, I get a bit squeamish when it comes to eyes.
Yeah, I'm not too bad with eyes. I know what you mean.
They're weird. Like I was watching, I don't know if you guys have seen Staff Let's Flats, like one of the weirdest bizarre comedies. I watched series 3 in like 2 nights the other day, but he made a good point. He says, like, aren't eyes weird? He was like, you're all skin, and then there's just 2 bits of water on your face. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it? When you think about it, it's kind of weird. All skin, and you've got 2 random bits of water on your face. He was like, I hate eyes.
That's why.
That's exactly why.
He's been poking them out all his career.
This is a weird one because this the plumber gets like his eye gouged out, but it takes like the eyelid with it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a package deal.
Because of whatever they're using for the heads, they're like plasticine models or something. So like it, I don't know what the eyes did, but like when they pull like bits of it out, like it comes, it kind of cheese string pulls away, like melted cheese pulls away. But like,
can we get an effect where just the eyeball comes out? It's like, the eyelids got to come with it.
I make them with the eyelids, and I make them. It's like when you buy a new wing mirror for your car. It's entire
unit. Yeah.
Have you touched up the glass? So he has been gouged, and then he's in a poorly way. He's right poorly. He's vomiting up blancmange and trifle.
He's dead, right?
A wedding that's gone too wrong. He's like, bleh.
Yeah.
He's what? What did you say, Luke?
He's completely dead, right?
Yeah, he's been.
Oh, he's dead. No, he's dead. There's dead, and there's dead, which is what happened. He becomes.
Did he go to the morgue? The weird morgue with just people lying down in plastic bags?
Yeah, it's the one from Halloween Kills, just the open plan morgue.
oh, yeah.
It looks like a UFO, abduction room. Like, it's such an interesting looking white room.
Weird, isn't it?
So they take him there, but not yet. First,
do we see what kills him there? What pokes his eyes out?
Isn't it the porridge man?
Yeah.
It's porridge man. Yeah. And he looks porridge like he's made of meringue.
Yeah.
or the Ready Brett guy from those 80s adverts.
Oh, yeah.
Glowing with Ready Brett energy.
Bloody cereal based ghouls. You got the Ready Brett man. You got Sugar Puff dude. What was his name? Honey Monster. Bloody terrifying.
Tony the Tiger.
Tony the Tiger,
yeah.
The Ready Brett guy. Either that or that Lurpak Butter man. But he is. So, Noel Douglas. So Douglas has thrown his arm out, and he's the one that's gouged Joe the plumber. Give him a right old gouging. So you're going to gouge my landlady, I guess, if he's living in her basement. You're going to gouge my landlady for your plumber's prices. I'll give you a gouging right in the eyes. Meanwhile, Lisa has gone to visit Emily, who she meets on the smoky road to Silent Hill with her dog, old Dickie. Remember, Dickie is a key character.
Dickie, like a CNI dog. Do people have CNI dog like Alsatians?
CNI Alsatians. Emily does. when she arrives, she goes, "Oh, I've been looking really hard for you." It's a bit insensitive. I've been looking so hard, that's why my eyes are broken.
There's no way I would have stopped for her. I would literally just go, "Get out of the fucking way! You're standing in the middle of the road."
Yeah. Yeah, I think she is a ghost. Because even the guy said, the doctor says later on, no one lives in their house, and they haven't for years. So I think she must be a ghoul. From the 1920s,
when she read that book to death.
Yeah.
In the 1920s, though, again, I think we've spoken about this before. In the olden days, you could die of a lot less. You know that if you have a bad week, you got to go to the seaside to recuperate, otherwise you die. She must have read that book, and it was so scary. Died of it.
Died of scariness. Yeah. So. What happens? where do we go now?
Emily comes back to Liza's hotel, and this is because the music in this is an absolute delight anyway. But
I was going to say, we've not mentioned the music yet. Liza's maybe the best thing about the film, I thought.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's like funky. It's a bit funky.
It's quite proggy, progressive. The bass lines get a bit crazy at times. But it's always about that piano melody that Emily plays a lot.
Yeah, and that's the best bit in this scene. It came on and I was like, oh, here we go again. It's this like upbeat piano, and Emily's playing it to her. Imagine that. I'll invite you around your house, I'll play the piano for you. And she's play the creepiest jinky janky song.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of you're right, Ben. It's like quite funky drums with like synth sounding piano and synths and stuff. And then there seems to there's bits later on when it's like acid creeping across the floor or spiders creeping across the floor. Those bits are always scored by funky jazz evil frog funk jazz. Like it's a weird music.
But I mean, frog funk jazz porn music.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it works. I think it's quite interesting. It makes the whole thing feel like a weird music video.
Oh yeah, it definitely works. I like it.
So there's other little bits here. So we have this meeting and so on as well. But realistically, after Emily's played her piano terror jazz, Joe has had an autopsy already. Like the guy's literally sewing him back up.
Yeah, with like giant shoelaces. Like it's not medical. It's like not medical thread at all. It's like a licorice, piece of licorice or something. He's like tying them up together.
Yeah, I don't have any stitches, all right? I didn't have anything, but a sweet shop next door. So
he's licoricing him up. And then the guy, the other assistant comes in and he goes, oh, I might try my brainwave. And he goes, oh, go on, try the brainwave machine on him if you must. But I'm going to do an autopsy on this guy when I get back. So he puts him in. And then, is this Joe's wife that's come to dress him for a funeral?
I think maybe. And the daughter is the ginger girl outside the room. What happens to Joe's wife?
Joe's wife, she kind of sees something off screen and screams at it so loud that it tips a load of acid on her.
It's weird because the close-up of the acid is like a clear liquid, but when it's landed on her face, it looks like viscous.
It turns her into raspberry sorbet.
It does. Yeah. And I mean, and let's be honest, her daughter does nothing to try and help her. She like, at what one
can,
point, she could...
What can
could,
you do?
Well, to be fair, it just started falling on her face. She could have immediately moved her, but she just watches the whole thing unfold.
Watches it all unfold.
Too late now. Too late.
Goes, oh, Mama runs in. She, once you've got a bit of acid on you, might as well leave it. So she lets the acid pours on her, and then it begins to foam up, becomes like a raspberry air. If Heston were here,
It looks like a melting Solero or something.
Yeah.
What's the
raspberry Kool-Aid?
Yeah, well, all of them. like is it meant to imply that it's like alive? Because it seems to like be coming for her.
It's chasing her. Unfortunately, Jill has absolutely fucked it here because she's not in a maze. She's in one room and doesn't try the door that she came into. She tries several other doors.
Oh, and God.
Eventually gets spooked by opens the fridge to all the
There's a dead body in there.
All the dead bodies that loom out at her. And then God. Jill is we fast forward then to Jill screams as the sorbet encroaches. We have a quick aside where we go to a local bar where the doctor and our mate and Lisa are enjoying some milkshakes and some actual jazz.
Yeah.
In New Orleans. Yeah.
That's
doctor gets a phone call.
Did you also notice that the jazz band were playing 5 feet behind them and they're having a lovely conversation? It's like, no, can you just turn the noise down on the jazz band just a little bit? Oh, yeah.
little volume knobs on the instrument.
Playing like when the Saints go marching in next to them.
It's just ridiculous. Sit somewhere else, isn't it, if you're going to have a conversation?
Go outside. It's a nice day. New Orleans, famously quite warm. But she's having a lovely milkshake with a cherry on top. Lovely. Unfortunately, it's all interrupted when the doctor gets a call to obviously tell them something's gone wrong in the hospital.
Acid?
She not bloody acid. What's just like a jar of acid?
Not that acid I left on the side, is it?
Right on the edge.
No,
I knew something bad was going on.
It couldn't have fallen on it. It's quite a low shelf. She'd have to have been lying underneath it. Yeah.
As I left, I thought I should put the lid on that.
Put a lid on it.
Oh, well. Too late.
Put it under the sink where you're supposed to keep the acid. But the doctor gets a call and we fast forward straight to the funeral.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quick. And we see that Joe and Joe's wife, who we don't get a name for, are being buried. And you never guess what's happened to Jill. Who's so Jill scared. Jill's the... For no reason, ginger stepdaughter, not stepdaughter, right. the ginger daughter. She's been quail egged.
Yeah.
Happy and no one estimate. Mentions it.
She goes normal again later on, and she gets quail egged again, I think. Or maybe she's just
full-time
quail egg. Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a, I don't know what, so what's going on now? So there's the two people who work there at the house.
Yeah, she's down.
They came with the house.
Yeah, they came with the house. There's the hotel worker Lisa catches in her bedroom sniffing about for keys, and then there's the housekeeper. The housekeeper is down in the basement. You know what? Still flooded.
Yeah, yeah.
Still bloody flooded. She goes into the water at one point as well, doesn't she? With her little welly boots on.
She pops down. She pops down there. Lisa is back at the house and is told by Emily the bell to room 36 is ringing. She goes, "Listen, Lisa, never ever go into room 36 because the Ready Break Man was killed in there."
How many rooms are in this house? It's not that big, is it?
At least 36.
At least 36 rooms. Jesus Christ. It's like the TARDIS.
Maybe it's like just room 6 on the third floor, though.
Ah, yes.
You had to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not that many, but there's only 18 rooms. But yeah, so room 36, you must not go in there. But Lisa puts her foot down to Emily and says, "Listen, mate, I lived in New York, and if there's one thing I learned from living in New York, it's not to be scared of ghosts." Is that a Ghostbusters thing?
Yeah. Same universe. Cinematic universe.
The Ghostbusters have taught me, the real life business from New York has taught us that they, and by extension I, am afraid of no ghosts.
Exactly.
Can't live your life by it. So I'm going to go immediately into room 36, which sends old Emily running out of the house with Dickie with her.
Terrifying. Yeah.
Poor Dickie.
She goes immediately to room 36, immediately regrets it, because you'll never guess who's in there. That's right. Even though he was killed in the basement by the men, it's the Ready Break Man, Ready Shrek.
I can't even say that name. Jesus Christ.
Reddy Shrek is in there. He's nailed to the wall.
Yeah, let's have a look then. He's behind you.
Oh, yeah, he's behind me. There he is.
Nailed to the bloody wall. He looks worse. I mean, he looks 50 years old. He looks like you left the strawberries in the fridge for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you've gone, "Oh, I really fancy a strawberry. We've got some in the fridge."
Oh, you pick them up and they're like...
So they are nailed to the wall in the thing.
They're nailed to the wall in the bedroom in room 36. Devastated.
She gets a bit spooked. Does he try and get her or is he just there?
I think he's just there.
Just hanging, isn't he? Let him be. Just chilling out.
Wait, somehow he ends up at the hospital, right?
Yeah, he was there earlier on. I think when the maid discovered Joe's gouged body, discovers Reddy Shrek.
Right, okay. Yeah. There's also, I noticed a bit, Reddy Breckman was on a mortician's table and he was blinking. And this was before he was supposed to be, I'm pretty sure. Like, he was just on the side of the scene and he was just like blinking and like licking his lips.
Scratching his butt.
It's hard to pretend to be a dead body, all right? Have you ever tried it? It's bloody
hard.
His
makeup's hot. They've literally encased me in Ready Break for this film. It's really, really uncomfortable.
I don't know if it's about here, but there was another guy who is like the realtor or something. He goes to check out the Book of Ibon in this little library. The guy who works at the library is Fulci. He's like laughing.
Is that him?
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting there reading the Beano or something. He finds it very funny.
Yeah.
He's
Was he saying something weird about a book, didn't he? He's like, no one's ever got that book out of this library in however many years. It's great, though.
Are they at cross purposes, though? Because Lisa sees, I keep flipping Lisa or Liza, she sees the book, the Ebon book from the window. And is like, "Oh, it's that book. I'm going to go and have a look," because it was in the room 36 and it disappeared. Yeah. She nips in and it's not that book anymore. And then Fulci, reading his Beano, is laughing away going, "That's a..." But is he talking about the disappearing book or the book that She has now gone in and found that.
I feel like Fulci's librarian is just, I don't know, like a nightmarish. He reminded me of like something from like Jacob's Ladder or something. Like he wasn't quite there. The book of Ibon that was at the hotel is at Lisa's house. Because later on the doctor finds it there.
Yeah, it's been teleported there at the minute. But okay. it was in the window briefly, but now
Yeah. But then the realtor guy gets up on the, well, I don't know if it is here.
He wants the plans to the house because Lisa basically says, "Oh, do what you want with it, mate. Just get the plans."
Oh yeah.
And he goes to get the plans, but they're up on like a Beauty and the Beast like bell library ladder.
Yeah.
And he's like spinning around on there, and he goes up, and it's on the very very top shelf. And when he opens it, unfortunately, the opening of the plans summons three things: lightning, spiders, and the soundtrack to Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds. So all three of those things are summoned. He gets pinged off the ladder by the lightning, and then he's lying on the floor. It goes and then the little spiders come walking along.
Thing is, most of the spiders are real. They must be because of the way they're walking. But then every now and again, there'd be like an obviously fake plastic.
That's like a brown felt
hand. There's a glove.
It's pretty gruesome, though. I mean, if you're scared of spiders in any way, like tarantulas, whatever, this like is going to change your life.
He's like paralyzed or something, isn't he? I'm guessing he's like cracked his back or something. He can't get up. And the spiders are on his face. They bite a chunk out of his lip. He's got like clay lips now.
Take a little chip out of his nose.
Yeah, they take the middle bit of his nose off.
It's brilliant. There's like a really close bit where it like shows his tongue getting bit into.
Pinch that as well. Pinch your little spiders.
And they're like squeaky, aren't they? Aren't the spiders squeaky?
Yeah. They're oiled.
Yeah, these spiders. So many things squeak in this. There's the man that drives past to the hospital trolley. No WD-40 in the place.
Come on.
I feel like that's a trope I do feel like I get a lot from these kind of movies, these tiny horror movies. They're always very squeaky. I'm not too sure what it is.
It's because someone went, "What noise do spiders make?" And someone went, "Oh, I don't know." Kind of like
nice to give squirrels as well. Sometimes.
Squirrels.
So
he gets chomped up, and then this is what you were saying, Luke, about the plot kind of becomes secondary here, and we just go from one thing to the next because. Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds eats the architect. And then the
building plans disappear from the page.
Oh, yeah.
See that? But like, I thought that was a weird detail.
But like gradually. It's not like they all disappear
one room goes and then one room goes. Yeah, it's that weird.
Yeah, it was very strange.
It's an aged ink and now exposed to the sunlight. It's gone. But meanwhile, back at the hotel, the maid is there. And she faces, we'll have a little pause here, a real life horror. Blooming hair babies in the sink.
Oh God, that is gross. Yeah.
Worst job you can do around the house? Getting the hair babies out, or is there a worse one?
Satisfying.
What I was gonna say, Luke. It is satisfying. When it gets kind of caught.
Mm-hmm. We're on the same wavelength here.
Good to have it done, but I don't want to touch it. I think there's a comedian that pointed this out, and I don't know who it is to credit them, but hair on people's heads, lovely. People love it. They want lovely, luxurious hair. They want to stroke it. As soon as hair is off a person, disgusting.
It is gross.
Yeah.
But I remember once the bath water wouldn't go down, and we had like the long, spiky things you shoot down there to try and get stuff out. Because we've got like a really hairy dog, and like we bath her, so we figured there's probably like chunks of dog hair down there. Nothing would work for about 2 weeks, and I was like, I'm gonna have to call the landlord, which I hate doing because I hate having people come around the house. We used a plunger as like a last ditch effort, and it worked, and it was like one of the best feelings.
I'll tell you what, I'll revolutionize your life. We got a lot of these. I've got a trusted one that's in the house now. You want to get yourself a proper plumbing snake, big long metal thing that's got like a spirally hook at the end, and you get it down that drain, And obviously it can wheedle its way down. And it's, when it's uncoiled, it's, you know, a few meters long. And you get it all down there, it's probably halfway to Australia. And then you can...
And then you, someone Australian man's bum.
Yeah.
Bum.
And you yank it, oh, hello. And you, and you, and you yank it all through. And you fish out all kinds of things, and it's very satisfying to see how fast the water goes afterwards.
There's just an Australian man blocking it this whole time.
I got him.
Put me back.
G'day.
That was terrible.
Fly back, sorry. It's a one-way trip with a plumbing snake, but it is very satisfying. But the worst job, especially when you've got it almost out and you have to use
your
hand.
Especially when you're like, it's definitely not my hair. Have anyone in this house? It's just not mine. And yet you're the person who has to deal with it. It's the man's job, I guess.
We it was when we lived in Korea. We had the first flat that Karen, when we met, we were both working over there. The first flat she had, it had been the foreign teachers had always had these houses. And her flatmate left, and she took on the biggest room that had an ensuite, which is very nice. But the first thing she wanted to do was get it really cleaned. And I don't think the drain traps had been cleaned forever. And literally, I'd say the term hair baby, it was like a baby that we got out of there. It was worst.
Those things, they're using like spells and stuff where like someone's swallowed loads of hair and it's kind of created like a stone in their stomach. You know what I mean? God.
Yeah, it's called like a... It begins with a B.
Yeah.
Like if you
use it for casting spells and
yeah,
pretty sure
it's really Bagul. It's the guy it's not called Bagul, that's the baddie from Sinister.
Bazoa. Even the name, yeah,
they look a little bit like, yeah, the one that I fished out of that of the drain, it looked like the baddie from Malignant. It was terrible.
Somebody's pretty gross. Some of them look very interesting. Like, how is that hair? Strange.
Every second I have to send Axel, he's fussing at me.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Joe gets out of... So the maid woman, is she a maid? She's cleaning the bathroom, and there's a bathtub which is full of shite. And then Joe's animated corpse gets out and kills her. I mean, the dirtiest water you're ever likely to see. This is like Western Supermare on a on acid. And he gets out and kills her. Reminds me of that scene. Do you remember the scene in Resident Evil, the first game, where you have to unclog, take the plug out of a bath?
Yes, I thought of that exact one then.
Yeah. If there's a tub that's that dirty and you have to No, don't want to put your hand into that murky darkness. So how does the animated corpse of Joe kill her?
He gives her a classic face grab, because the forces of evil love a face grab. From this to Evil Dead and beyond, they'll grab you by the face, and then he shoves her onto a nail.
Oh, yeah. And guess what pops out?
Bloody eyeball.
Yeah.
But this is different, because he pops it out from the back, not the front.
Yeah, it's true.
Classic. You got to mix it up, these things, you know?
I think the other housekeeper's been killed off screen. I think we've...
Oh, yeah, because we see him just... He looks, well, the basement's still flooded. They are going to have a poke around over here, and he's just not been seen for a bit. He'll come back a bit later. But now we go off to Emily's house.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, bit of a sad scene when she's suddenly surrounded by ghosts. The ghosts are the people who killed the guy at the start of the film, right?
I think so.
It's the various ones, because there's the one with basically after you get got by these things, you're one of them, because Joe the plumber is there, Reddy Breck's there, the spider chomped architect is there.
Okay. Yeah.
Chomped architect.
Production wise, they're like, let's just use the same people.
Use them all.
Yeah.
And after you've had that scene where you've had that makeup for your demise, then we'll just use that for off. Your... Leave it on. Yeah. Leave it on. She does like a proper... I guess, a more modern touch point. She's like the Emperor from Star Wars Episode 3, where she's like, no, please don't take me back to hell. Please, please, please. And then her unlimited power moment, and she's like, Dickie, get him!
It's like, it's almost like she forgot that the dog is an option, and then she just suddenly...
Well, yeah, she's cowering in a corner, and then Dickie just comes over like it's nothing. He's very relaxed about the being.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
About wagging his tail.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I was worried, but it was just the storm. But now I know it's just these undead zombies. I'm not bothered. Yeah. And she goes, Dickie, have him.
Dickie, sick him.
And he absolutely canes. Is it Plumber Joe or is it Ready Shrek?
Ready Shrek. Yeah, I thought it was Ready Shrek. But I guess like it was the wrong thing to do because...
He does a heel turn because he's chased the zombies off and then goes, let's look around. And then,
you know what? I'm sick of you saying my name.
My name's not even Dickie.
My name's Richard.
It's Richard.
I hate being called Dickie.
Yeah, so he pulls her throat out and then bites her ear off for good measure.
Yeah, it's quite brutal. So then I think we're coming towards, I guess, like the last 20 minutes where things are kicking off. The doctor takes... Well, they escape the hotel. I think they're in the hotel. They're downstairs and they see... they get attacked by one of the housekeepers and also maybe Rady Shrek.
Arthur, the other guy, comes out the water like Killer Croc and gives Lisa a scare. Yeah. She runs upstairs and the doctor's there and he's like, I'm sick of these. He actually said, I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
Tell me all these stories. I went to that bloody woman's house. No blind woman and a dog live there. It's just this book, which I did read.
Just this dead blind woman.
Like really blind. I just couldn't see anything.
and her invincible dog. He's just, I don't know where he's gone off to seek his fortune, I guess.
Yeah, homebound.
Yeah, he's gone. But he said there was this book here, though. And I had a read of it, and it says, your hotel, mate, only on one of the 7 gateways to hell. So I'm sick of these stories. Let's go to the hospital because I'm a doctor and I refuse, will not hear of it, an irrational explanation. I need a real one. So we're going to go to the hospital and we're going to see what this is all about.
Yeah. And then...
And then they do. They go to the hospital.
Yeah. I think you're on mute, Andy.
Sorry. They say, you told me that this was a portal to hell, right? And saying hell kicks it off. It must be with all the zombies coming out. Someone goes, right, we're so close to the amount of evil we need to break through. If someone just swears in this room, it's going to be enough. And him saying hell was enough to do it. Because all of a sudden, all the thunder goes off and they're on the way.
Now, these zombies as well. I mean, are they the slowest zombies ever put to film, do you think?
They're pretty slow, pretty dumb.
Don't use their hands much. They're just sort of... Butt into things.
Also, like the doctor,
bullets.
The doctor gets a gun, and how long does it take him to realize that shooting him in the chest or the body or the leg or the arm doesn't do anything?
It's so frustrating because he seems to get it and then forget.
Yeah. He goes, hang on a minute. All right, I've got to hit him in the head, have I? I'll shoot this next one in the wrist.
Just to check. Weak point.
Yeah. I wouldn't care so much if he was missing sometimes again. But at first, he shoots the first one a couple of times, gets in the head. You would think at that point, right, you've got it now. But he does that 3 or 4 times. And you think, okay, he's got it now. No, he's gone back to just doing the body shots.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And isn't there, when they're trying to escape, does Liza purposely go in the lift without him? Or is that like an accident?
No, he gets... I think she goes in without him and she meets up with Jill, who's just hanging out in the hospital still.
Oh, yeah.
But immediately she went back. Why did she go back there? Because it was after the funeral.
Well, she just liked it. There's also another doctor who gets glass smashed into his face.
Yeah, he gets glass ex machina. He's like, what's happened to you? Don't know, nothing. And then before you know it, the glass.
He turns into clay. beforehand for some reason.
That's what happens.
I thought there was a really funny bit where the doctor runs towards the lift and he like points the gun forward and lift, and we're seeing his point of view and there's nothing there. And then the entire camera goes to the right and we see the girl, Emily, and the girl sat there.
Yeah, there's like, what, do you not see them?
They were just like, just move slightly to the right. And he went, oh, Doom.
How did he get out of there though? Because he went into, it was a very Doom feeling to this, but like when he saw Harris, he turned himself into clay so as not to get too hurt by the glass ex machina. How did that stop the zombies being outside so he could walk back to the lift?
Magic.
They disappear when they disappear when they die, Resident Evil style.
Well, maybe if there's some sort of malevolent spirit involved in this or sentient thing that's making this happen, it kind of makes sense because suddenly they're in hell, or like suddenly they're back in the basement of the hotel.
Yeah, and they say impossible, impossible. Oh,
before they do that, though, you've missed the key element that. When they get into the other, when they're doing this move around, Jill becomes evil very briefly, but the doctor has mastered his headshots for that. It's like a suck it, Jill, blows her head.
He doesn't hesitate.
I just before got something he shoots in my eye. Too late.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. I think she goes bang.
Wow. Well, her entire forehead gets blown off.
Yeah.
Like, she's not had a good day at all. Good couple of days. Saw her mum get acided. Her dad went to work and didn't come back. And then
her head blown off.
That's the thing, though. That's the weird thing. Apart from the passage of time where it's actually telegraphed at the beginning that 60 years have passed or whatever amount of time it is, it's a long old time. There are things that suggest that time should have passed in this film, like a man having an autopsy or then it being his funeral. But also, there's some presentation about it that makes it feel like this is all the same day.
Yeah. Nothing's happened for 50 years, and then suddenly it's just all kicking off.
Yeah.
So you're right. They're in the basement. They say impossible, and then where were you going? Were there, Ben?
I can't remember, really. Where was I going with that?
Yeah. They kind of just accept that they're in the basement, and it's impossible. Oh, we are back in the hotel. Better walk into this painting, I guess.
I have to say, I mean, I really like this ending for some reason. When they're in that kind of weird hellscape, it's quite cool. And the music is like crescendoing, and now they've got quail egg eyes. And they're just looking out. I kept expecting there'd be like zombies walking towards them from the, you know, like thousands and thousands of zombies from,
that's
I guess,
what I thought, yeah.
But you did hear him. I think you heard some moaning.
Were you meant to think that they were like absorbed into the painting in some way then? Because we kept seeing a shot where it didn't look like they were in it.
I don't, because
we end on the painting, right? And then there's like a monologue from, I assume, Ready Shrek.
Yeah. There's a couple of those moments where he says like the dead will walk the earth or whatever. I didn't get the impression that they were in the painting. I just thought they were in hell. Like they've gone through the gateway into hell, and that's just
the painting is just what it looks like.
Yeah, like an artist's depiction of hell. It's like it's not a long film, like an hour and 17 minutes, I think, or so. But I mean, it does feel slow at times. That tarantula scene is at least 20 minutes long.
Yeah, it's very, very long. The spiders walk over to him in real time with their Jeff Wayne's music.
Not long enough. It wasn't long enough. I wanted double that.
I've got some name game if you're up for it.
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh, yes.
So this first one is about a woman who inherits a hotel that was once the site of a horrific murder. And it turns out to be a gateway to a place where everybody knows your name and they make you feel like family.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, that's all I can think. Cheers. Everybody knows your name.
Well, it's just like you feel like you don't want to ruin the belonged. Yeah.
Okay. The belonged. Cheers. This is exactly what I thought. I was thinking cheers. I was trying to think of every actor who's
in the painting at the end. It's just that bloke with a "we win" sign in that sepia tone.
Everybody knows your name. The Belonged.
The Belonged. Yeah. Next one. Woman inherits a hotel. It was once the site of a horrific bee stinging. And on the floor in the basement, there's a little magic stick that allows her to control bees.
The bee.
Magic stick.
Magic stick. The bee. You're muted again, Andy. The...
My computer's going insane. It muted itself then. God knows what's going on.
The bee...
Harry Potter's got one.
The bee wand.
The bee wand.
The bee wand, yeah.
Oh, you should have left me on mute, Ben. You would have got it.
Eat shit.
Next one. Woman inherits a hotel in Louisiana. And it may be a gateway to the pop punk band Blink-182.
The DeLonge. Tom DeLonge.
Tom DeLong.
The Tom DeLong. Is that it?
Well, just Tom DeLong. It's a quiet word, but I just like Blink 182.
Just enjoyed it.
Yeah. Next one. Woman inherits a hotel in Louisiana. There was once a site of a horrific murder. And which may is that in the basement there's a little body of water that people have been weeing in.
The pee pond.
Why?
Well, yeah, the wee pond.
Wee pond, yeah. And the last one.
A little body of water. Yeah.
Basement's still flooded, I might add.
Yeah.
It's not getting any less flooded either. Well, the way you're doing.
Last one. Woman inherits a hotel in Louisiana. And there's a gateway to the basement just is full of hair dye.
Bee blonde.
Pretty much. That, I mean, I put the blonde. But it's the same idea.
With enough hair dye, you could be blonde.
Be blonde, yeah. Yeah, well done. 5 out of 5.
Nailed it.
To rate the film.
Rate good?
Rate good or rate bad? That's the big question.
You want to take the lead, Luke? You chose the movie?
Yeah, your prerogative.
Yeah. I think... You can't rate this film in the sense of let's go see a film that makes sense. You can't rate it on those terms.
Let's go see a film that makes sense. No, I do not want to.
You're not comparing apples with apples.
You've got to think of this is like the primary experience that Fulci is trying to create here is a kind of hellish horror fever dream. I mean that's like the judging criteria, and for me he kind of nails that. It's just a little bit long in the tooth at times, and also a little bit squeaky at times to my taste. I'd say I'm gonna go with a B minus.
Classic.
Beyond minus. I think maybe slightly less than that, just because I did struggle a little bit to get through it. I honestly think it is kind of great as like a one-time watch, like in terms of all the effects. I think watching it with a load of people would probably be quite good as well. There are a couple of slow moments, a couple of slow sections where I did feel a bit like who, what, where, why. but as soon as heads were getting melted by acid, I was like, yeah. The whole zombie section, I guess, was a bit tedious because I was like, yeah, come on.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
We're too bloody slow. He needs
to He didn't live in a video game playing world. Like headshots don't mean anything to him. It's second nature now. Different time.
Absolutely no idea. No idea at all. I think I give it a C+, because I still enjoyed it to a degree, but it didn't change my life. But I'll never look at tarantulas or Alsatian dogs or quails
already eggs. Breck
already Breck in the same way my life has changed forever.
There you go. I know this was one that was, I think, because of its narrative delivery and so on, it's easy for us to make fun of the things that happen, but I will say there were some really nice practical gore effects in there. Lots of eye stuff, which no one likes. No one likes anything going wrong with your eyes. So there was some good effective bits of horror. And also I feel that this is one that you could just, you could show those horror scenes, you could show those individual things as standalone, and they hold up well as effective little bites of horror. It's just the connective tissue, which, as you say, like, maybe that isn't whatever what he intended, so can't really judge it based on that. I'm gonna go with Ben on a C+, I think. Like, I'm glad you chose it, Luke. I know you said when you sent it to us, make sure you're still talking to me after you've seen it. And that's never in doubt. You could make us watch Uber Bowl and we'd still talk to you, but I'm glad I've seen it. I think it's a good one to have seen. So a C+ from me. It's worth seeing.
Hell yeah, definitely.
Cool. Next week we're moving on to our next batch of films. I think, oh no, this is the first of the new batch. What is we doing? Oh, Last Night in Soho.
Last Night in Soho next week.
Last Night in Soho, okay. Yeah. So that'll be fun. And that's probably the second Edgar Wright movie we've ever done on the podcast. So
I guess there's not too many movies you could do. I don't think you could get away with Hot Fuzz or
no.
Maybe
Dragon. Could you get away with The World's End?
I don't think so. I don't think it's horror enough. It's like sci-fi centric, isn't it, really?
Yeah, they're robots, aren't they? So they're good.
Bloody robots.
Yeah. And then after that, Crimson Peak. And then
some Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Nice bit of child-friendly horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. They've got some good choices this month. Maybe we'll talk about Antlers somewhere if we all manage to see it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm
going to see if it's showing at a cinema near me right now.
I don't think it is showing.
Sounds good.
Cool. All right, then. Thanks for listening. Be sure to become a patron over at our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/ horror hangout. Thanks to our current patrons, John Crinan, who's a patron against his will, Ben Scaife, Stephen Christopher, Toby Miller, Laura Kendrick, Scott Rigby, and Pazuzu. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks for the listeners. Please consider rating and reviewing and join the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Thanks to my co-hosts, Ben and Andy, for being right horror dudes.
Thank you very much, Luke. Thank you very much, Andy.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Pleasure as always. I'm off for a nice bowl of tasty porridge.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure it's nice and hot.
Piping.
Cheers, guys. Bye. See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.